please come to the convocation.
Thank you, Dr. Powell. It's a pleasure to be here and see all our old friends and to begin our activities. We've got Bishop Ball to give us an invocation. So, bow your heads.
Gracious God, you are the source of all truth. We pray that all of us may be led into that truth in all ways. We thank you for the heritage of education in this state and for those who have taught and teach and those who have learned and continue to learn. Particularly for the women's school, for those who have been blessed as teachers and students there. We ask your continued blessing upon this university. We ask that this room may be a reminder that we should seek your truth together. Bless us all, we pray. We pray in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Dean.
So, Gary.
Remember, I haven't promoted him yet. As many
they
of you
demoted, they will be downstairs.
but you feel safe here because there isn't anybody here who remembers your deeds or misdeeds in the Milne School. So I do know that Milne gave him the start, which is going to be apparently a good practice for him, in that he did a lot of traveling coming to Milne from out in Manans by the streetcar and up the hill and so on. So I understand during the 9 or 10 months he's been in as Bishop Coadjutor, he put in about 13,000 miles traveling through his parish. So he's had a lot of practice traveling that started in Milne. And he will, I'm sure, make as many friends among his new constituents as he has among his old. Many of you have seen the articles in the paper to know that he was a basketball player for Milne, and back in those days, they did pretty well, too. So.
Well, if I can mix sadness with reminiscence, remembrances. I didn't see Coach Judah very well either. Now, one of my brothers is very sick in the hospital, and a couple of days ago, he's very, very sick, and he's reminiscing about old things. And he's telling a man in his room about the methods of hiding and where they certain trees by the corner of Albany High School where they hid to smoke, and of course Eddie's place. And so the fame of Milne was, and our activities now has been spread to at least one other person who went to Albany High School and marked the same things, I think.
Thank you, Mr. Paul. Let me see, the next person we've asked to talk, Milne, of course, is well remembered for the people who were on the faculty there. We had about 125 in the last 30 years, many of whom stayed for longer periods, some stayed shorter, but they were very effective people. And give me a few remembrances about the Milne faculty. I've asked Danny Ganellis, Dr. Daniel Ganellis.
Not a doctor. Just, I'm not sick yet.
Danny, tell us how the faculty felt about Milne.
Well, I have so many remembrances of Milne. I was there, of course, as a student teacher in 1950, and I was there certainly as a faculty member, and I also was a parent. I have two children who graduated from the Millen School, so I have many connections with Millen. I have very close feelings, and I feel Millen has always been a very fine, close-knit family. There was always a feeling of kinship among the faculty and the students as well. I've gone places throughout the United States, and I meet people all the time who remember Millen, remember all of us who are faculty members with such feelings of warmth and gratitude, in a way, for being in a place where they could really learn to grow. I also feel that the faculty that existed in Millen before I got there and after I left, of course, were the best people who could ever come together in one place to help others to grow as individuals, as professionals. Not to say that those who graduated from the university or the school became the best teachers immediately, but at least the seeds were there, and they were able to take those seeds and make something of themselves. And the people that have, who I see around here today, student teachers of mine and many other faculty members, still have that warmth and understanding of what it means to be in a place where excellence was always what it ought to be. And we feel so good that we've come together finally and brought what was cut away from us, the School of Education, the Millen School, and brought it back together. We're whole once again, our heritage is here. I think we can go on from here now and achieve the greatness that we once had and will have again. So thank you all for being here.
Of course, Millen would not have been Millen if it weren't for the students. And we've asked Judy Koblenz-Madnick, who was a Millen graduate of class 61, I think, who's now carrying on the Millen tradition as a teacher, to give us a few words about how the students felt about Millen. Judy? Oh, there she is.
This is not the same as standing in front of a group of seventh graders, I'll tell you. Just to bring back some memories, Dr. Fosick, members of the faculty, and fellow students. I vaguely remember my first days at Millen. I was following in the footsteps of my mother and my uncle and my aunt and some other relatives. And I felt pretty special in seventh grade going to Millen. I had heard so much about it. Of course, my friends were very envious, but what I didn't realize was they were envious because they had to swim in the pool at Hackett and I didn't. I also remember the beginning of Millen. Dr. Fosick, you may remember this, telling our class that we were going to be the first students in the new Millen. And I guess this is close to the new Millen as we're getting. Educationally, we really felt that we received a good education. We had the benefit of very energetic, enthusiastic student teachers. They were young, they could relate to us, they knew the newest methods and techniques, and they were also getting a grade. So they knew that they should do a good job, and we benefited from that. We also, of course, had excellent supervisors, and I see lots of them here, Dan Ganellis and Dr. Norton and lots of people. I'm going to forget names. I'm just going to go that far at this point. And we had their expertise. You know, they had many years of education. They had studied a long time. And adding that to the idealism and idealistic ideas of the student teachers, we really benefited from that combination. Some of us went on to college, some of us didn't, but I think we felt very well prepared in whichever direction we went. So much for academics. Obviously, that's not why students go to high school. We had all kinds of activities. We had athletics, the Millen Girls Athletic Association, Boys Athletic Association, chess club, math club, there were choirs, humanities clubs, drama, bowling club, the school newspaper, the yearbook, everything that any good high school had, we had. And, you know, we never felt, because we were small, that we were missing out on anything. And, of course, the sock hops and the alumni ball and C&W B&I dance and senior ball, that added to the fun of the 6 years that I spent at Millen. Some, of course, were there a little less. There were 72 students per grade, 432 maximum in school. We all knew each other. It really was like a big, happy family, as Dan alluded to. It wasn't just the school to which we were assigned. Our parents and their ultimate wisdom, and we didn't realize how smart they were at that point. As my father always says, the older we get, the smarter our parents get. And I guess maybe he's right. And also, we realized that we were in a school that didn't have to keep us if they didn't want to. You go to a public school, and there's a lot of obligation on the part of the education system to keep you in that school. And we knew that we had to toe the line, although, of course, I never had to worry about that. ever since Dr. Fazza called me, I've reminisced a lot about my 6 years at Mill. And, you know, I often tell my two teenage daughters that the teenage years are not the best years of your life. You know, you hear that saying so often. And that's so cruel because they're going through all their miseries and they think that something's wrong with them. But I think that Mill really helped me get through those years, certainly as best I could have. And I at this point, would have to say that I'm really glad Mill was there for me, and I only wish it was there for them. I just wish that the dedication of this room was in honor of Mill as an ongoing educational institution and not in memory of a very special school. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. For those who may not be aware of her reference, there was a period, 10, 15, well, closer to 20 years ago, I guess.
1955.
that there was much thought of a brand new campus school. The question was, where were they going to put it? Were they going to put it over in Washington Park? Were they going to put it between the old campus and the dormitory quadrangle? Well, there were great plans, and at the time I was honest when I thought we were in 6 years we were going to have a new mill, but it did not ever materialize. Well, Judy says that it was the wisdom of the parents which has contributed an awful lot to the Milne School. If it hadn't been for their volunteering, their students to us, well, there would have been no Milne for faculty to teach or for student teachers to work with. And today we've asked an alumnus of Milne, class of 33, it's a long time ago, and a parent to talk to us a little bit about the parents' reactions, our reflections about Milne. Dr. Irving Richter. Dr. Richter.
Thank you, Dr. Fosick. Members of the faculty and guests, when you and Dr. Ball were speaking a few minutes ago about the first class of Milne, when it first opened, I should say, I was a little bit afraid you'd introduce me as one of the earliest graduates. Short time ago, Dr. Fosick, you called and asked if I would care to speak for a few minutes here, and I'm delighted to do so as a parent also of three children who went to Milne. Of course, I didn't know quite what I wanted to say then, and half the things that I anticipated saying, Dan has already mentioned, and Judy has taken up about the other half, so I think I could just about sit down. I won't, though. I enjoy being here. For those of you who are not familiar with Milne, let me begin by saying it was a small school with a very limited population, and it spans grades from 7 to 12, but it overcame its small size by its great stature. Here indeed was a place of warmth, a place of caring atmosphere, a place where good personal relations existed between students, student teachers, and supervisory staff. To a great extent, this was due to the fact that the ratio of the number of pupils to teachers was very favorable, resulting in the students' ability to obtain additional aid in their studies when they required it, and when the teachers observed the need, they were first to jump in and help out. After all, the student teaching staff was a motivated, enthusiastic, vibrant, and knowledgeable group of people, and very efficiently supervised by an excellent faculty. Milne provided its group of students with the most adequate extracurricular activities, including athletics, drama, music, and art. And while I can't quote figures on the number of people who went on from Milne to college, I think the percentage was exceedingly high. In this day and age of uncertainties, unrest, and turmoil, it was most gratifying as a parent to note that discipline was adequate because the faculty impressed on these young people a proper understanding of what was expected of them both academically and socially.
In conclusion, I'd like to state that the School of Education, as well as our political leaders of today, should look back and realize that here indeed was a school that could well be copied today. Our children's children and our nation would certainly be the beneficiaries of the legacy handed down by the Milne School. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dirk. I'll take advantage of my position as chairman to just mention briefly the Milne, from the point of view of the administrator. This is really a dream as far as an administrator's position went. I had none of the worries of the administrator today who has to work.